Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer His call, follow His leading, and give Him my all. Living for Jesus wherever I am, doing each duty in His holy name, willing to suffer affliction and loss, deeming each trial a part of my cross. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus through earth's little while, my dearest treasure, the light of His smile. Seeking the lost ones, He died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in Him. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone.
Good to see you on this Monday night. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Amen. Amen. Galatians chapter 2. We're going to begin in verse 20 of Galatians chapter 2. And a familiar passage of Scripture, one of the most memorized verses of the Bible probably, and we'll not spend all our time there, but we'll certainly build much of the message on something that's found in that passage. Galatians chapter 2, in verse 20, we find these words, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now I want to emphasize the part of that verse, the second phrase there, where it says, Christ liveth in me. And that's what I want us to really think about this evening. Christ liveth in me. You know, the primary message of the book of Galatians, I think, is the fact that we're justified by faith. You know, there were some erroneous teachers. These Galatians had been exposed to false doctrine. They'd been damaged by this infiltration of false doctrine having to do with the matter of salvation. They mingled, of course, works for salvation with faith and said, you know, you have to be have faith in Christ, plus be circumcised, plus obey the law. And Paul is giving such a beautiful and a strong defense of what it means to be truly saved by the grace of God through faith in Christ. But also, along with that, a defense, a part of his defense was this teaching about our position in Christ, what it means to be in Christ. He says, for me to live is Christ. In another place here he says, for I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And a part of his position is that our victory is not in ourselves, but it's in Christ who lives in us.
Right.
There are far too many Christians, professing believers, and no doubt true believers, who are trying to live it on their own. And to me, this has everything to do with the presence of God. Christ living in us to give us victory, to help us. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. God gives us the ability, not in ourselves, but in Christ. Christ liveth in me. Let's pray as we begin. Father, thank you for your precious word tonight, and thank you for, Lord, just allowing us in this day and age to have in our possession the very words of God. We're grateful for that. We need your help tonight as we study together. We ask you, Lord, to help us to be sensitive, alert, Lord, to the leadership of the Spirit of God. We depend on you, Lord, for your power as we speak, as we listen, Lord, as we seek to apply. We pray that you'd help us to be attentive to the Word of God. We ask you, Lord, that you would help us to resist, Lord, distractions, hindering things that might keep us from focusing on what you have for us. And Lord, I pray through those here tonight that have never been saved, that tonight would be the night that they would trust Christ, and for all of us that we could leave this place tonight rejoicing for what it means to know that Christ lives in us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So I want to begin this evening by talking about this matter of our position. And that's what Paul, I believe, is presenting in this great verse. I am crucified with Christ. That's a positional reality. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I've died. Crucified is a horrible way to die, but he's talking about his position. I was in Christ when he was crucified, and I live, yet not I. It's not me, but it's Christ that lives in me. You know, Paul, this is not the only place Paul used this kind of language. For instance, in Romans chapter 7, I was just thinking of this, where he gave us this great description of the struggle that we have with our own human nature. And he says, I'm going to paraphrase. He says, you know, when I want to do something, I find that I'm not doing it. Sometimes the things I don't want to do, I do. Every time I want to do good, he says, evil is present with me. And he says, if I do wrong, it's no longer I, but it's sin that lives in me. And he's just talking about the fact that he's not talking about being schizophrenic. He's just talking about the fact that he still has to deal with his own nature, but the godly influence of our life is not just what we've programmed ourselves to do, it's the actual presence of Christ in our life. And so the scripture here is talking about this position. What does it mean to be in Christ? What does that mean, to be in Christ? And let's go, if you could, to the book of Romans for a moment, in Romans chapter 5. And I think maybe a place to begin to talk about our position in Christ is to talk about what it means to be in Adam. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, the Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. And what man was that? Adam, of course. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, when Adam sinned, that sin passed upon all men. Because Adam's DNA spiritually is in us. And that's why the Bible says that we're all sinners. We're sinners because of the deeds that we've done, but we're sinners because by nature we have a sinful nature. And all of us are sinners. Every last one of us. And that's, of course, the place to begin in understanding the glorious gospel is to understand our depravity, how sinful we are. And I'll just say this for the benefit. There could be some here that are struggling even with this matter of salvation. You know, we don't need to be saved because we're worse than someone else or better than someone else. We need to be saved because we've all sinned against God. We've all offended the holiness of God. We've broken God's holy law. All of us are guilty before God. Romans 3 says that the whole world would become guilty before God. And we're sinners by nature. No one ever had to teach me to be selfish. It came by it's natural. No one ever had to teach you to be prideful. It's our nature to do that. Well, look, read throughout the Bible. People would sin and try to hide themselves. You know why? Because they knew they were wrong, but they were trying to hide themselves. That's natural. All of us who've had children, and yes, even grandchildren can sin sometimes. We're sinners by nature. So we're a part of Adam, a part of Adam's race. But just like we were a part of Adam and Adam's race, When Jesus died on the cross, he died for us, and he died for all mankind. We don't believe in a limited atonement. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. And we were in Christ when he died, that's what the Bible says, and when he raised, we were in him. Amen. Go with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 21, it says, For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And so I was in Adam as a lost man. I was in Adam. I had that Adamic nature. I was born a sinner. But when I trusted in Christ, God placed me in Christ. I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me. That's a positional reality. We are in Christ. In Adam, we were made partakers of that sinful nature. But when we were born again, we were united with Christ. We were placed in Christ. And thank God for that. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man, not just some men, but if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Right. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. We become new creatures in Christ Jesus, and we are in him, and he is in us. Ephesians 2:5 says this, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now you say, well, I just don't know if I understand all that. Well, I don't know if I understand all that, but I know it's true because it's in the Bible. You say, where are you? Well, I'm standing right here talking to you. Why would you ask such a question? But I'll tell you where else I am. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. You know what the Bible says? Because we're in Christ. Now, I want to say why I take the time to talk about this tonight is because I think one important thing to understand about the presence of God is to know that he's always with us. Amen. And that we're in him and he's in us. Now, I mentioned this last night. I talked about it a little bit last night, but I want to talk about it some more tonight. That's what Paul is talking about in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Do you believe that tonight if you're saved?
Amen.
That Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, in this life, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know what makes our position, our future position so secure? It's because we're in Christ. And Jesus taught us that we're, you know, that we, you know, we're held in his hand, you know, that nothing can get to us except it goes through him. I mean, these are concepts that are taught in the Bible. That's our position. And quite honestly, I think sometimes we go through life and we worry and we fret about things that really are so secure as far as Christ is concerned. And on the other hand, we try to do certain things or perform certain ways because we know it's right, but we think we have to do it in our own ability, when in reality, there's no good thing that dwells within us that is within our flesh. But Christ does it through us. That's the place of our victory. The battle is the Lord's. And our victory is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 6, that great passage in Romans 6 tells us that we no longer have to be servants of sin. We were the servants of sin, but we've become the servants of righteousness because of the grace of God in our lives. So we're not in this alone. Aren't you glad about that?
Amen.
We don't have to fend for ourselves. But God is with us. He lives within us. His presence is with us. Paul, writing in the book of Colossians, says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Now, I know that sounds kind of deeper life, and I don't intend to sound that way because I'm not a deeper life person, but I'm just telling you, the person that we are is not the same person that we were. We've been made new creatures. We still may have the same color eye, and we may not have any more hair, but we've been made new creatures inside. It's not us anymore. He lives within us. And we live in him. That's the position that Paul is talking about in Galatians 2:20. Christ liveth in me. And I pray this way sometimes, and sometimes we think like this, that we need to pray for God's presence to come, but in reality, his presence is here. Because he lives in you. And I talked last night and emphasized, I think rightfully so, the promise that where two or three are gathered together, that he's there in our midst. And so there's a true sense in that, that's true. And we don't have to ask him really to come because he's here, but we do ask him, you know. We want him to be manifest and be present and be welcome. But I'll tell you, anywhere you go, if you're a Christian, he's with you. That is our position. And the second thing, and the last thing I want to talk about tonight, is our practice. Because this position should affect the way we live.
Amen.
It ought to impact the way we live. And far too often, I think we live by our feelings, or even live by our recollection of our failures, and let those things direct us rather than believing what God says about us. God has some wonderful things to say about us, doesn't he? And you know, one of the things that really determines our behavior is our belief. Our belief determines our behavior. Someone sat in my office just recently doing some counseling and just really struggling with some things about life. And then this person said to me, they said, "I want you to be perfectly honest with me. You know, what do you think would help me in my life? What do you think I'm doing that I could change?" And this is basically what I said in summarizing it. I said, "You've got to change the way you're thinking. You know, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Most people who think they're defeated usually are. You know what the Bible says? We're more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. This is not the power of positive thinking. This is believing what God says and confessing what God says. I believe, therefore have I spoken. It's saying what God says about us. And this person, I believe, is a Christian person, and but they really struggle with a lot of insecurity, a lot of doubts. And I said, you need to get in the Bible and get the Bible in you and start believing what God says about you. A lot of God's people sit in churches thinking they can't do this and I can't do that and I could never measure up and whatever. But you know, God doesn't say those things. God promises us blessing and power and ability and good as we obey Him. And it starts with recognizing that He's right here with us. The success, if I could use the word success, and I don't want you to misunderstand the way I use it, but the success of the Christian life is not working harder or being better. It's appropriating what God says about us. What God says about us. You know, I mentioned a moment ago, let's go to Philippians just for a moment. In Philippians chapter 1, and verse 21, Paul says, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now, I don't know how you feel about this, but I think Paul really had a lot of insight into this matter of living the Christian life, far more than I do. You know what I'm saying? And he talked about living the Christ life. "For to me, to live is Christ." Christ is my life. And he goes on, of course, and says, "To die is gain," and he talks about the struggle he had, and "I'd rather be in heaven, but it's more needful that I be here with you." But he talks about that position. Now look over in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, he says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Now, he's not talking about working to be saved. We know that. Work out your own salvation. What he's talking about is working out what's in us. He's not talking about working so you can be saved. He's talking about this glorious salvation you have, working out that salvation. And look at the very next verse. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. God works in you to do what? To will and to do of His good pleasure. That means God gives me the want to. God works in our desires. God works in you to will and to do. Not only does God give you the desire to do it, God gives us the ability to do it. God gives us the wherewithal, the equipment, what we need to live the Christian life. Because it's Christ that lives in us. It's one thing to be granted this great position. I didn't understand. There's a lot I still don't understand, but I didn't understand any of this when I got saved. All I knew was I was a lost sinner on my way to hell, and Jesus died for my sins and promised me that if I would come to the cross in repentance and faith, He'd save my soul. And I took Him at His word, and I got saved. But you know what? We all got saved the same way. But man, we had no clue what we was getting into, did we? I mean, we had no clue. That very moment, I was adopted into the family of God. Amen. That very moment, I was sealed, eternally sealed by the Spirit of God. That very moment, I was given a brand new nature inside me that cannot sin. Doesn't want to sin, can't sin. God did that the moment you got saved. And a lot of others seated you in heavenly places. Isn't that a wonderful thing? God did all that. And we didn't do anything to get that except put our faith and trust in Christ. And we were granted that position. But it's one thing to have that position afforded us. It's another thing to walk in that. It's another thing to appropriate what God has promised us. And walking in Christ, that's what we're talking about. This whole matter to me about, you know, walking in the presence of God is walking in Christ. And it requires a personal application and appropriation for every one of us. When Paul wrote that verse, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now Paul was not a self-centered person, but notice the personal pronouns. For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Eight times, eight personal pronouns. You know what that tells me? That this matter of living out, fleshing out, working out our own salvation is a personal thing. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. But it's our responsibility to find out what we have and to learn to live it. Because the Christian life doesn't depend on me giving 110% of my effort all the time. It depends on me appropriating this victorious Savior who lives within me and allowing Him to live His life out through us. It's the life of Christ. It's the life of faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm not going to turn to the passages tonight, but most of you are familiar with them. In Ephesians and Colossians, where he talks about putting off the old man, putting on the new man. Now, what in the world is that talking about? I recognize the old man. And I'm not talking about that man sitting next to you. I recognize he's selfish. He's prideful. He's defensive. I recognize the old man. He comes, I see him sometimes. He creeps up. He's a creep. He raises his ugly head. He wants to argue. You know what the Bible says? You have to put off that old man. Put on the new man. What is the new man? The new man is gracious and patient, long-suffering, gentle. That's the new man. Amen. You know what? My wife, if my wife could, she'd put off my old man, but she can't. You have to do that. That's the only way it's going to work. There's no magic potion. There's no pill you can take. We have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. It's the life of faith. And let me illustrate. It sounds complicated, but it's not. Here's how you got saved. Here's how I got saved. We heard the gospel. We heard the gospel preached from the Word of God, the Bible that cannot lie. Amen. Revealed to us that we're all sinners. We cannot correct that problem. We're sinners by nature. Our sin separates us from God. And yet God in His great love, more than 2,000 years ago, sent His Son, Jesus came to this earth to be the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb that would take away the sins of the world. And by some miracle, when Jesus was dying on the cross, all of our sins were put on us. He took our sins upon His own body on the tree. He died for our sins, and He died a physical death. He died for our sins. They put Him in a grave, and 3 days later, He raised from the dead. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we took God at His word and we asked Him by faith to save us, and we will forever be changed by the grace of God because we did what the Bible says. Well, that same Bible tells us that we're crucified with Christ, that Christ lives in us, that the life we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God, The same Bible tells us. If you read through Romans chapter 6, where it talks about, you know, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It tells us that we are crucified with Christ, that we can count it as a fact that one day on the cross, my old sinful nature was dealt a mortal blow in the body of Jesus Christ, and I don't have to be a slave to sin anymore because Jesus died and I died in Him, and when He raised, I raised in Him to walk a new life. The same Bible that tells you how, us how to be saved, tells us how to walk with Christ. How to walk in His presence. The victory that Jesus promised has to be appropriated. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could just put it in autopilot? Would it? Just get up in the morning, push a button. Just live the Spirit-filled life all day. It doesn't work that way. We do it by faith. By faith we walk in Christ. By faith we walk with God. I want to talk to you for a few moments about this matter of walking with God. And then we'll wrap this up. I was studying one day about that terminology, that phrase, walking with God. And I noticed some things in the Bible, and I want to share them with you quickly, because everything has to do with this matter of appropriating and walking by faith, recognizing that Christ lives in us. Go with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. In verse 1 it says, "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram," Genesis 17:1, "and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect." That phrase, walk before me, I could give you other places in the Bible. One of them is Genesis 24. Since we're in the neighborhood, let's look at that. Genesis 24 and verse 40. Says, "And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk," before whom I walk. The key word is before. So he talks about walking before the Lord. I think the words of the Bible are important. I know you do as well. To walk before someone is to walk in their presence. It's important to know what it means to walk before the Lord. It's what David talked about in Psalm 139, when David talked about how, you know, when I sit down, He's there with me, and when I stand up, He's with me. He knows my thoughts afar off. You know, if I could go to hell itself, He would be there. You know, what He's saying is, I'm always in the presence of God. One of my favorite verses of Scripture is this: "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Walking before the Lord means that you never go anywhere that God doesn't see you. We never go anywhere. The ways of man, Proverbs 5, the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. By the way, that's a good thing. Young person, get this down. If you anything else tonight, get this down. You're always in God's view. Always. That teaches us to fear the Lord, which is a good thing. The fear of the Lord is a good thing. It teaches us to trust in Him because He's always looking over you. He's always watching out for you. It inspires us to please Him. You ever see kids when they can do something, you know, and they know their parents or their grandparents or somebody, and they just want to make them happy? I tell you, always remember that you're before the Lord. He sees everything, every move. He knows everything there is about us. Remember when Jesus was talking to Nathanael in the New Testament, and He said, "When thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Right. Nathanael said, "Whoa." Not exactly that, but kind of like that. We walk before the Lord. Now go with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 13. Deuteronomy chapter 13. And it says in verse 4, you shall walk after the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 13:4, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. So not only do we walk before the Lord, I think walking before the Lord is an awareness that God is always viewing us. But walking after the Lord is to see where he's going and pursue him. Walking after the Lord. Jesus said, follow me. You know, you can sit in one place, and or I can stand in one place and really be before the Lord, because he's everywhere and he sees everything. But to walk after the Lord, that means I see where he's going and I follow him. That's obedience. We walk after him in obedience. We walk after him because we love him and we want to please him. So we walk before him and we walk after him. The demonized man from Gadara, when he got converted, he was sitting in his right mind and clothing in his right mind, and he got on the ship because he wanted to go where Jesus was going. He wanted to be where he was. That's obedience. I love the 63rd Psalm. And in that 63rd Psalm, David said, my soul followeth hard after thee. Think about those words. My soul followeth hard after thee. I want to walk after God. I want to find out what God wants and I want to do it. So we have walking before him, walking after him. Now go to Genesis chapter. Well, we don't even turn to it. Genesis 5:24 tells us that Enoch walked with God. You have walking before God, walking after God, walking with God. Walking before God is awareness. Walking after him is obedience. Walking with him is fellowship. Amen. Friendship. Abraham was called the friend of God. Jesus said, I've called you my friends. We walk with the Lord. We can walk with the Lord. Now, you know, anytime I talk about this, I think about my wife, because she and I walk together. We walk... Sometimes we walk around the track. Sometimes we walk on a hiking trail. Sometimes we walk at the mall. Just the other day, we were walking at Walmart. And we weren't out walking for exercise. We were just walking. And I'm walking along, and I started talking to her. And then I realized she wasn't anywhere around. She had seen a clearance rack or something. I've seen the same thing happen at mall. We're walking around the mall. But here's what I was going to say about walking. We have to adjust our gait. We have to adjust because we don't walk at the same speed. You know what I'm saying? And so if we're going to walk with God, we have to make great adjustments in our life. But that's fellowship. Walking with him, we work with God. We walk with God. So we have, now I'm going to get to the part that applies to the message now. But I want to lay all this ground. We walk before him. We walk after him. We walk with him. But now go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We're talking about Christ living in us and we being in Christ. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Not just before him, not just after him, not just with him, but in him. I have those two words, in him, circled in my Bible, because I think it means, it's talking about, he is a part of us, and we're a part of him. Christ is in us. And we not only walk before him, yes, we not only walk after him, obeying him, we not only walk with him in fellowship, but we walk in him. That means he's living his life through us. Now that, again, I'm not trying to be sounding spiritual. I'm just trying to say this is a wonderful aspect of the presence of God, that he's always in us. We're hid with Christ in him. He is inside of us, and we can walk in him. Galatians, Paul said this, walk in the Spirit, right? Walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. That does not mean that He's making our feet move as we walk. It just means we're positionally in Him. We're yielded to Him. We're allowing Him to influence and control our lives. And it's not just me walking and trying to imitate Him, though we are to be followers of Christ. It's actually Him living in us and walking through us. We're a part of Him and He's a part of us. Christ liveth in me. That's what Paul said. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You know, He wants to live His life through us. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is about. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, is the fruit that He produces through our lives. Love. And He lists these things. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance. Do you need any of that stuff in your... I need a lot of that stuff in my life. I need to be long-suffering. You know, John the Beloved, the one that gave us the Gospel of John and gave us the Epistles of John and gave us the Revelation... He was the one who leaned his head on Jesus' breast, you know. He had a reputation of being right there, right close to Jesus. And he makes this statement in the epistles of John. Think about these words. Just an application of what we're talking about. Him living His life through us. He said this, His love, God's love, is perfected in us. Not our love trying to be like God, but God's love in us. God loves people through us. Now, there's some people I can love without trying. And there's some people I couldn't love no matter how hard I tried. But you know who can love them? God does. He lives in us. We walk before Him. We walk after Him. We walk with Him, but we walk in Him. He actually does lead us. He actually does fill us. That great day of the feast, John 7, Jesus cried out and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Ghost, who had not yet been given because he had not yet been glorified. But he says, what he was saying was, he will flow out of us like rivers of living water. That's the life of God. I think the charismatics scare us off sometimes, you know, because they talk a spiritual language that sometimes we it makes us uncomfortable. And I don't believe any of what they believe, you know what I'm saying? But I'm telling you, the Christian life, and I've heard some of what I'm about to say in Independent Baptists, the Christian life is just a matter of us buckling down and trying harder and working harder, and I'm for working hard, but I'm telling you, it's not, I can't produce what God wants out of me. The only one that can produce what God wants out of us is God Himself. And that's what He wants to do. And the great thing is, He doesn't just tell us to do it. He says, I'll help you. If you'll let me, I'll do it through you. The more we get ourselves out of the way and the more we yield to Him, the more He does it through us. That, I'm not talking about a problem-free existence. I'm just saying a help that's beyond our ability, a love that's beyond what we can do, and a long-suffering and patience that's beyond what we can do, a kindness that's beyond what we can do. It's great just to tap in. Every once in a while, isn't it nice when you say something or do something and as soon as you say it or do it, you stand off and say, man, that had to have been God. Because it sure don't look like me. You see, we meet the extremity of our ability often and we want to quit. We want to give up. Because we just don't think we can. I've heard that from people so many times. I just can't do that. I can't do that. I've had people say, we just can't live up to what you're talking about. And I say, well, neither can I. but God can. Paul said, I've learned how to be abased, and I've learned how to abound. And he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He gives us the strength. The more we yield, I believe, the more he controls. Less of us and more of him. Christ liveth in me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? Amen. 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 Let's stand together, please.